Social Skills Coaching by Patrick King, a Newton Media Group production. Now, just before we get into the episode, let me ask you to check out the show notes and get a link to where you can leave us a comment about the podcast or send us an email so that we know what you like, what you don't like, and what we could do to make the podcast more informative and more entertaining for you. Again, those links are in the show notes. Thanks for joining us today. Hope you enjoy this episode from Patrick King. The Block of Self-Doubt. Let's dive in with a particularly common mental block that you'll probably recognize in yourself. You likely don't need a long explanation of what self-doubt is. Most of us have experienced feelings of inadequacy in life, or have felt occasionally that we're not smart enough, successful enough, fit enough, attractive enough, really, that we are not enough, period. This belief can be so fixed within us that it can persist even in the face of obvious evidence to the contrary. Whether we lack faith in our own abilities or worth because of the way we were raised, our personalities, unrealistic cultural standards, or our life experiences and relationships with others, self-doubt can be strange in that it often appears to have nothing to do with objective reality. Understanding imposter syndrome. The classic example of someone suffering from so-called imposter syndrome is the overachiever who excels at their job and yet has such low self-esteem that they're convinced their success has all been a horrible mistake, a bit of luck, or a fluke. They live with the gnawing suspicion that one day they'll be found out for the frauds they really are, and their accolades will be stripped and given to someone else who really deserves them. Feeling like an imposter when you achieve success is explained by looking at underlying beliefs, which are powerful enough to warp our perception of reality. The belief is, I'm a bad, useless, stupid, or unworthy person. When something in the real world happens to directly challenge that belief, i.e. you're promoted or win an award, you have two choices. Change the belief to match reality, or hold on to the belief even more tightly. The only way to make the belief, I'm a useless person, fit in a world where you have literally won an award for excellence, is to tell yourself a story where the award was simply given in error. In other words, you appear to be a successful person, but it's merely a temporary illusion. Not only that, but when other people realize just how useless you really are, it's going to be extra humiliating. The prevalence of imposter syndrome is yet more evidence for the premise we began our book with. Your thoughts create your experience. So much so that when thoughts and reality are pitted against one another, our thoughts can actually win out, shaping a world for us that is wholly different from what others would call objective reality. Take a moment to really think about this. Your thoughts are so powerful at creating your felt experience that they can even work against plain objective reality. Isn't that a power worth learning to use correctly? If you often find yourself feeling like a fraud who's one day going to be found out, try to consider how this perception may be actively limiting you and your success and well-being. Being your own anti-cheerleader means you constantly downplay your achievements, amplify your weaknesses, and interpret events in their worst possible light. Thinking this way narrows your sense of possibility, stunts your creativity, and keeps you acting small. Worst of all, imposter syndrome can have a nasty habit of becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you think, feel, and behave as though you are unworthy and undeserving, it won't take external reality long to catch up with your assessment and start reflecting that back to you. Not such a great outcome for someone who may have considered themselves a perfectionist. Perfectionism is not the only attitude that will predispose you to imposter syndrome and indirectly block your ability to live an intentional, conscious life. Consider the following beliefs or thoughts. I have to be an overachiever and do it all perfectly. I have to do it all on my own. Asking for help is unacceptable. I have to find this challenge easy and natural. I don't need talent or genius. I have to be an expert. I have to know everything. Though certain cultures, work environments, or even families may hold these mindsets as ideal, The truth is that they're fragile, hard to live up to, and seldom predict actual success. Instead, the expectation that comes with such a heavy need to perform actually creates anxiety. This anxiety can potentially push a person to procrastinate, rushing through the task at the last moment. If they're praised, this praise is written off. After all, they didn't really earn it. It was just dumb luck, and nobody saw how frantic they were to just barely complete the task. On the other hand, the anxiety can push a person to overprepare and work extra hard to complete the project. In this case, praise can also be interpreted through the filter of self-doubt. One could reason that they only succeeded by virtue of superhuman effort, whereas others who are naturally gifted achieve the same result with much less effort. Is imposter syndrome more prevalent in women than men? The concept was originally used to explore this phenomenon in high-achieving women, but the fact is, anyone can experience self-doubt. Of course, things can get complicated when we add gender or ethnicity into the mix. There's no doubt that some people feel like frauds in their careers precisely because they live in a world that confirms this belief. Thoughts create our experience, but unfortunately, we live in a world populated by other people's thoughts, beliefs, and actions, which inevitably impact our own. This brings us to an important mechanism through which thoughts actually create our world: stories. The power of self-narrative. The felt emotion of shame, low self-worth, or low confidence expresses itself in narrative form. It's revealed in the mental stories we tell ourselves and, consequently, others. How we feel about ourselves, our deepest held beliefs and values take shape as thoughts and ideas that link together into complex narratives about who we are, what we do, why we do it, and so on. In a sense, every one of the mental blocks we'll explore in the chapters that follow is a kind of story we tell ourselves and believe. Self-talk is not just about what happens moment by moment in daily life. For example, thinking, "I'm such an idiot," when you drop something. It's the persistent pattern of thoughts and stories that make up nothing less than your complete identity. When we have self-doubt, it's almost always because we've gotten carried away with the narrative in which we play the character that is inept, bad, useless, wrong. This could have originally come from being judged and criticized harshly by others, but it could equally appear to have no single root cause. Whatever the cause, someone with self-doubt has told themselves a particular story so often that they've come to believe it, not even realizing it's a story anymore, but assuming they're simply encountering reality. For the person with imposter syndrome, for example, the narrative of "you are a loser" trumps all. It becomes a lens through which every event is interpreted, but it's also a filter that works the other way around, altering the words you use, how you carry yourself, the actions you take. The trick is that if your self-narrative is poor, you're essentially locking yourself into patterns of behavior that actively limit and undermine your real potential. When you buy into negative self-talk and the story you tell about yourself, you stop behaving spontaneously and authentically. Instead, you act according to the role you have already assigned yourself. If you truly believe that you are incompetent and stupid, why would you ever try out something new, take a chance, or volunteer your opinion? For that matter, why would you bother asserting your boundaries or protecting yourself against things that are bad for you? If you already know that you're a failure, then there's no need to start a new project, learn anything new, go on an adventure, risk falling in love, challenge yourself, or speak up and make your voice heard. After all, you already know how the story ends. In your narrative, you are and always will be a loser. Everything that has to do with your not being a loser is simply invisible to you. When you have imposter syndrome, or when you're in the grips of low self-esteem and extreme self-doubt, your vision narrows till you see only what you falsely believe is a threat: being found out, failing, being uncomfortable. In reality, the greatest risk to having self-doubt is not in what you might do, i.e. fail, but in what you might never risk doing, i.e. succeed. Another way of putting this is that a poor self-narrative has an extremely high opportunity cost. When you work hard to convince yourself of a negative narrative, you're actively turning away from real opportunities to get what you want. You don't see promising opportunities when they emerge, and so you never grab them when you can. You don't hear compliments, and so never enjoy them, or let them soak in and become part of your self-concept. You don't enjoy your life as it's happening, or appreciate the many wonderful things you have, because you're tangled up in a negative story that constantly takes you out of the present. You don't take risks, and so you don't reap those rewards. You essentially talk yourself into a corner, staying in your comfort zone while your amazing, fulfilling, and exciting life goes unlived somewhere out there. Humans have a cognitive bias where we tend to focus on the risks of what we could lose in the moment by acting and forget to weigh up what we lose in the future by not acting. In the moment, the self-doubt narrative seems really convincing. It's a little voice that's so easy to obey, but in reality, this is a mental block that only saps our power and keeps us thinking small. Sometimes we choose to stick to these negative stories because they give us a way out of putting in the effort we need to improve as people. A positive story requires constant effort and reassurance to maintain, whereas negative stories absolve us of that burden. If we're a fraud or an imposter, why would we bother doing anything? We need not put in the work to achieve our goals. We need not worry about successes and failures because the end result is always disappointment. But if you truly believe that you are a capable individual, you're susceptible to fluctuating fortunes unless you can practice self-compassion and positive self-talk. Though more arduous, ultimately, this is the approach that will improve your self-esteem, give you a sense of agency, and make you feel in control of your life. That is from Patrick King's new book, How to Think with Intention, How to Identify, Transform, and Apply Mindsets for Control, Confidence, Growth, and Freedom. Check it out at bit.ly/thinkwithintentionking. That link, of course, is in the show notes. Also in the show notes, you'll find the link to Patrick King's homepage, where you can request his copy of a free mini ebook on conversational tactics. For Patrick King, this is Russell with Newton Media Group. We thank you for joining us today and for listening to the episode. Please share it with a friend and let's spread the word about the podcast to others.